Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
More suspensions in the Iowa football program. Sweeping changes in NCAA basketball. And another edition of Caddy Smack coming up next. Welcome in, everyone, on Wednesday, 8-8-18 edition of the Gym Class. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today and the rest of the week. Scott Unash again on vacation. He will return not Monday, but actually Saturday, as we remind you again of the start of Scott's high school football previews on Saturday. It'll be Xavier, Prairie, and Jefferson out of the chute. That's 9 a.m. on Saturday, and if you happen to miss it, we'll have the podcast up shortly after those air. Kyle, we want to start out today with how troubling news is it? I don't know, but two more suspensions out of the Iowa football program. And as of right now, Iowa goes into its season opener against Northern Illinois, a very capable team, without its two starting tackles. Fill us in, will you?
Yeah, this just announced today, Alaric Jackson, who is set to be the starting left tackle, has received a one-game suspension, as well as defensive lineman Cedric Lattimore to be serving one game. There's not, we haven't been told what exactly happened. It's been said it's not a legal matter, and that, you know, there's any variety of things that this could have started from, but it originated, they said, in the spring earlier this year. And Lattimore and Jackson both had certain things that they needed to accomplish over the last 10 weeks, they said, and presumably they did not satisfy all those things.
Previously, Brady Reif and offensive tackle Tristan Wirfs were given one-game suspensions for alcohol-related incidents. So, I mean, if you're an Iowa fan, how worried are you about that opener? We've outlined Northern Illinois has a very good defensive end who led the nation in sacks last year, which on the surface you would think it would have been difficult enough if Jackson and Wirfs had been in the lineup. But now we're going to find out what kind of depth Iowa has on the offensive line, whether Kirk Ferentz and his staff can piece together a line for that opener. And then to miss a game and then come back the next week, presumably Jackson and Wirfs would be in the lineup against Iowa State, but not having any game experience this year, so it's not good.
No, and I was looking around trying to check, you know, all the guys on the Iowa beat. I wanted to see their reaction. And Chad Listico actually put out an article over the weekend, I believe, ran in the Des Moines Register. He was just kind of picking apart all the units. And when it came to the offensive line, he actually had an interesting quote. I think this might not be exact, but it was along these lines. He said, for a program that is so, you know, traditionally talented on the offensive line, they're very thin at tackle. And so you say, we're going to see just how good the depth is here. And, you know, without seeing anything yet, you know, there's some concern there that the depth is not as good as it usually is. And so, I'm not saying that anybody should panic, maybe, but that first game is going to be, I think you're going to see that line crumpling a little bit more often than you would like.
319-366-1600, our phone line, and our Hertin and Stocker Jeweler text line. Check out Hertin and Stocker in downtown Iowa City or online at HertinandStockerJewelers.com. Lattimore was scheduled for some significant playing time as well in the defensive line. The defensive line is going to be one of the strengths of this Iowa football team. But you take him out of the lineup and presumably take away some game experience for him. I wouldn't say anything systemically wrong in the Iowa football program because two were alcohol-related, two were program-related, not following the rules. So I can't really say that it's a systemic thing, but accumulation of some circumstances that really makes you pretty thin going into that opener.
Yeah, and you know, the Hawkeyes lost, whether it be, you know, players leaving early for the draft or graduating some pretty important contributors. Iowa already had a little bit of turnover as it was. We're going to go into that first game wondering, you know, what are we going to see from a lot of these different units? And, you know, God forbid one of those linebackers or one of the new corners would get suspended or anything like that. But, you know, this it like you said, it's kind of accumulated here. And now there's really even more question marks all across the board than there were. And you bring up the word systemic, and I think you're right. This definitely is not a systemic issue. You know, Iowa, you know, traditionally very disciplined. You know, they don't really mess around with shenanigans or anything like that. And you can even look at Jackson and Lattimore and say, you know, sure, those guys are now serving a suspension, but it somewhat seems like Iowa was getting out in front of something. You know, they punished them earlier this year and kind of gave them a chance to redeem themselves, and they didn't. So now they're going to be punished. So if anything, I would say that is it's a testament to why Iowa does not have a systemic issue. But along those lines, I don't know Alaric Jackson personally, but this is his second suspension prior to the start of his sophomore season. And so, you know, I wouldn't speculate to know, you know, the attitude of the people inside the Iowa football building. But if I'm Alaric Jackson, if I'm people close to Alaric Jackson, I'm telling him, like, you might not have any more chances left after this.
Quote from Kirk Ferentz on the issue: as a coach, one of the most important decisions is to hold student athletes accountable. It is painful for the players and the team to impose a suspension, but we have high standards and there is an expectation all players abide by our rules. It doesn't matter who you are. It matters what you've done. That's where Kirk Ferentz is coming from, and I think he's been fairly consistent in that regard. And he said the release said the player infractions are not a legal matter. A violation of team policy or rules could include any number of things, including academic performance, attendance, timeliness, behavior, effort, and engagement. So there is that. And going forward, they're going to spend a lot of time during camp right now figuring out who those tackles are going to be for that opener. And then hopefully Werfs and Jackson, along with the two others, come back and really appreciate what they have in terms of an opportunity to play college football. So, and also in the college realm, Kyle, today, the NCAA made some pretty sweeping rule changes in regards to not only college players, but, excuse me, high school players. And it comes in the wake of the FBI investigation that occurred recently, maybe still ongoing. I'm not quite sure about that, but the headlines are these. All players who get invited to the NBA Combine but go undrafted will have the option to return to their former school. I like it.
I love that.
Like it. Secondly, elite prospects will now be allowed to have official relationships with agents. This applies to high schoolers and college athletes alike. USA Basketball, in conjunction with the NCAA, will have the task of identifying which prospects in a given class are quote-unquote elite.
I like that idea there because, you know, these guys who, you know, you make them go to college for a year, and, I mean, you could kind of call it a sham, okay? A lot of those guys are just there because they have to be, and then they're going to move on to the pros. And so to help those guys, you know, further their career in the best way possible, they need legal representation, or at least, you know, they need an agency, someone out there who knows what they're doing, because high school kids don't. But with that said, I think there's a little gray area in there, because who are these people deciding who's elite? You know, who are these people who are going to decide, you know, which players get that privilege? That's, you know, I trust them. We'll see how that turns out. I there's nothing to criticize as of yet, but as I look at all these rules, that's one of the things I wonder about.
I don't like it. I think this is just going to benefit the agents. You know, as I've grown up through my life, I guess my parents and my coaches have been the biggest advisors. And I would think as an athlete, a basketball coach, whatever it may be, if I'm a senior in high school, those are the people I'm going to lean on. I maybe not get legal advice in that regard, but what legal advice do you need at that age? You know? It'll be interesting to see how it plays out, but I just think this – benefits agents more than anything else.
That's an interesting point, though, because I hadn't really even thought about that. You know, we've heard about in the past how predatory some of these agents can be insofar as, you know, getting to these players first, making sure you've got your foot in the door so when the money comes in, you're going to get a cut of it. And so I think you're right. There could be some concern there.
Also, the NCAA is going to hold school presidents and chancellors more personally accountable for their athletic departments in terms of abiding by the rules. So thought that was already in place, but I guess not. But they're going to reinforce that. And the recruiting calendar is going to get a major overhaul. College coaches will be allowed to attend the NBA Players Association Top 100 camp each June. Also, the live period of July will be attendable for non-scholastic events. So as we get in towards basketball season, I'm sure we're going to hear more comment about it. And actually, tomorrow we're going to be joined by Kevin Lehman, television analyst, a college basketball analyst from the Iowa City area. He's a regular guest on our program, and he's agreed to join us and talk about these rule changes and how he feels they are going to be followed, whether they be popular. Coaches like it, players like it. We'll talk to Kevin Lehman about that tomorrow. 319-366-1600. Again, our Hertin and Stocker Jeweler text line. Ryan in Walford commenting, this opens the door for so much money going under the table. It's a mess waiting to happen.
There is that concern there. You touched on it. I think it's somewhat legitimate, but we were busy earlier today with Lunchbox Heroes, so admittedly, I haven't had a whole lot of time to unpack all this.
Ryan, it happens now.
Yeah. I do believe I saw something earlier that the people who are going to be representing the college players, the high school recruits, I believe they, I don't know if certified is the right word, but they have to be, there's going to be a select group of these agents who, you know, you would think go through some sort of vetting process. USA Basketball, it's going to be up to them, probably the NBA as well, to make sure that some of these agents are, you know, they have integrity and they're not going to be doing that kind of thing. But again, you know, we've seen this go wrong in the past.
0601 on the text line, but Mark, some of these talented high school players don't have the stable family base that you had growing up to help them. Also think about, how many qualified coaches you know. How many of them are really qualified to give a kid advice on professional basketball? Brian Haas, our pro from Riverside, Blue Top Ridge, nodding in agreement. And we're going to bring in Brian here after the break to get into another edition of Caddy Smack. Right now, Kyle, I think this is a good opportunity to give away our four passes to Fry Fest coming up on Friday, August the 31st. It's a huge event. If you've never been, here's an opportunity for you to attend the event. It's at the Coralville Marriott. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn will be broadcasting live from the event 4 to 7 on that day. So let's take caller number 6, Kyle, and caller 6 will win 4 admission wristbands to Fry Fest.
Here's today's savings forecast. It's a hot one in beautiful Hiawatha. On the phone, Lindsay McGrath.
Shoppers ask me, when is the best time to buy pre-owned? My answer, clearance at the McGrath Used Car Campus. It only happens once a year.
Now through Monday night, clearance pricing.
On everything, over 2,500 used vehicles to choose from. Used cars from $29.88, buy with as little as $88 down and get payments from $88 a month.
The hot one in beautiful Hiawatha. Clearance at McGrath Used Car Campus. And Lindsay, all the popular models on sale.
Acadias to Accords, Camrys to Caravans, Yukon Sierras. Clearance price used trucks and SUVs from $99.88.
What if my credit isn't so hot?
Nobody works harder to help get you approved. Once a year savings, we don't want anyone to miss out.
Clearance at the McGrath Used Car Campus.
The hot one in beautiful Hiawatha, I-380 and Boyson Road.
Log on McGrathAuto.com. Click specials.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before noon and after 5, play 18 holes with cart for just $24.61. You'll also get that same deal on weekends after 4. St. Andrews has brand new carts that they hope you'll enjoy. And new this year, they've got a Friday night couples special. After 4 o'clock on Fridays, couples are welcome to golf with cart for that same $24.61 price. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
At Z102.9,
The Gym,
and Smart FM,
we live local.
Every morning I grab a cappuccino from a local coffee shop.
Keep my hair looking sharp at the local stylist.
Stay in shape at the local gym.
Hang out with my friends at the local sports bar.
Take my daughter to local shows.
Play golf at the local course.
Keep my money in a local bank.
Share what I've got with local charities.
Spend local.
Source local.
Love local.
Live local.
We're local radio stations. Join us and put your money where your heart is.
Welcome back, 321 on the Gym Class. Doug in Cedar Rapids is going to be going to Fry Fest, a High Porch Block Party on Friday, August 31st. He wins the 4 admission wristbands to that event coming up August 31st. Big thank you again to Third Base. Third Base Brewery, located on Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Third Base, the Gym Class sponsor, just like KGYM. Third Base is locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again, great for a quick lunch, catch a game after work, or bring the family in for an affordable and delicious meal. And make sure and ask about the Mug Club. Cost you $25 and a lot of benefits to go with it. Third Base Brewery, our sponsor of the Gym Class. Right now, another edition of Caddy Smack. Beautiful golf weather. Very important week nationally in golf. And like to welcome in Brian Haas, head pro at Blue Top Ridge in Riverside. Brian.
Well, hello.
How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
You had a very busy week last week. You hosted the 85th Iowa Open at Blue Top Ridge. And by all indications, it went very, very well.
Right, and it wasn't my 85th.
No.
I feel like it, though, you know, at 85.
That's a lot of work. Yeah.
It is. It's fun, though. It's nice having it at your own home course, which is maybe a slight advantage for me and slight disadvantage at the same time because you're trying to host and play at the same time. But the course was in great shape. We had a lot of good play. It was fun to see the numbers. My goal was to have maybe the top 10 players under par. And I think we accomplished that with a fun golf course.
Well, congratulations to you. You had a nice tournament as well. 2 of the 3 rounds under par. I'm sure you'd like to have 18 back in round 2.
Yes.
Judging by what I saw on the scorecard, but yeah. That's going to happen, huh?
Yeah, it was just, one catastrophe after another. All I was trying to do is make bogey is the scary part, so I wasn't even trying for that miraculous shot. It just got caught up.
Yeah, top or 6 or 7 finish in the senior division, and that's very good for a guy that only plays 9 holes a week, maybe.
Yeah, so since the Iowa PGA Championship, obviously that's when my play really started for me this year. I had some injuries early on, and so that was a lot of golf for me. That was 36 holes, then 18, but that got me ready for this, so I felt a lot better per 18. In fact, on day 2 when I had my bad round, I started out birdie-birdie. For the day, and I thought, here I go, and it just kind of went downhill from there. But now we have the Senior PGA Championship over at CRCC coming up this next week, and I think I'm ready. I haven't played that much golf in a while, so I feel pretty good about it.
That's a 36-hole event, is that right?
36 holes, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And again, that coming up August 13, 14, the Iowa PGA Senior Professional Championship at Cedar Rapids Country Club. And that'll be a good event. The PGA Championship beginning tomorrow.
Yeah,
Brian,
exciting.
At Belrive Country Club in St. Louis. Do you have any firsthand knowledge of the course?
I don't. I've not been to Belrive. I know it's beautiful, obviously. Like a lot of courses in our Midwest area, I know they're struggling with some conditioning there as well. But outside of that, I know it's a great venue. I know the golf course itself is in great shape. I know the greens are maybe struggling a little bit.
Quite a history, too.
Welcome in, Rick Swan. Hey, how are you, buddy?
How's it going? I thought I'd just jump in and start talking.
No worries. Yeah. By the way, Rick and Scott participating in the Cedar Rapids Senior City last week.
Yeah.
Scott made the cut.
Scott made the final cut.
Yeah.
Finished T17, I think.
Right.
Overall. And Rick, you had a good second round. I know that.
You know what? Overall, it was a pretty good for me. I had 87, 83.
Uh-huh.
And really only wanted two or three shots back. So that's, pretty good for me.
That's very good.
That is good golf.
And I really enjoyed it.
And Scott opened with a 45 on his first nine holes.
Oh, wow.
And
I should
show you the text he sent me after that. But he came home in 34.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and rescued a 79.
That's amazing. And he sent me a text as well that said he made the 20-man cut in the senior city open and got to play Sunday and finish 17th. So he was excited for sure.
I was happy for him.
Yeah,
very much.
Happy for you guys.
Yeah, it was
actually
fun.
PGA Championship tomorrow, 7:06 tee time. Sean McCarty, your good friend from Brown Deer.
Yeah,
and he will go with Brant Snedeker and Hao Tong Lee, an up-and-coming Chinese player. I know McCarty has played practice rounds this week with Snedeker and Jim Furyk. How exciting is that?
Yeah, I saw him practicing with Zach. And
awesome.
I saw Ricky hanging around with him as well. So,
yeah,
he got to hang out with some great players.
148, Zach Johnson. There's two of them in the field, by the way.
Yeah.
The second one is a club pro.
Gotcha.
I wonder if they got to meet. I don't know.
Oh, their lockers are side by side.
Well, they should meet. Yeah.
That's funny.
Their lockers are
literally side by side.
Yeah, hopefully they don't get their checks messed up.
Zach going up with Paul Casey and Aaron Wise. Now, Rick, I don't know if you saw this story, but I was showing Brian. Tommy Fleetwood's check from the British Open was deposited in the wrong bank account.
Oh, no.
Another Tommy Fleetwood, who happens to be a professional in England, received the funds.
Oh, wow.
Right. Right.
It's a big payday.
Right.
That is a big payday and a big mistake.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the two Zachs will have a little side game going on whose check they get from each other.
You know Sean McCarty.
Yeah.
And he played in the 2003 U.S. Open, 78-69. In that event. Now, I mean, almost, 15 years later, he's back at it. What must be going through his mind as he prepares for tomorrow's tee time?
Well, he's on a whirlwind right now. So he's played in a good number of events, including the John Deere and making the cut at the John Deere, which is big. That'll help your confidence quite a bit. Went from that right into our local PGA section championship. Which is what got him to the PGA Championship initially, because when you get in the top five there, you go to the National PGA Championship, and then you got to get in that top 20 in order to play in the PGA Championship. So from that section championship and, right into the Waterloo Open, Cedar Rapids Open, Iowa Open, and now the PGA Championship. So he hopefully had a little bit of time to rest after all of that whirlwind, because it was literally one event right after another without a break. And so he's heading in there with a lot of golf under his belt, and I think he's ready to go.
And the past experience of having been there before.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I would imagine if that's your first time there, you're going to be starstruck a little bit.
Right.
A lot of guys like you.
Just the atmosphere.
Playing in their first major championship.
Right, right. And, even if he's been there before, they're not year after year been there befores.
Right.
So it'll... Even though he has some idea what it's going to happen and what it's going to look like, they're all different. They all feel different.
Sure.
And he's still going to have those nerves.
Yeah.
319-366-1600. Again, our text line and our phone line. Ryan and Walford has a really good question, Brian. What's the biggest obstacle for pros like McCarty, the PGA professionals who qualified through that championship? Is it the toughness of the course, nerves, or what might it be?
It's 100% nerves. I play week in and week out with guys that could hit the that do hit the ball as well as anybody we watch on tour. They really do. They hit it just as good. They putt it just as well. The issue is that they are not in it day in and day out. And it's a whole different circus, for lack of a better term. When you get there, just how things feel. When we hosted our Iowa Open, we tried to make it feel more like a grand mini tour event. And so each of those events are they're larger and larger as you get to that point. Now he's at the biggest stage there is.
Right.
That's it. It's a major. And that's just something we don't do. And so he has to have that comfort zone or try to find a comfort zone and get into some sort of routine to where all the things that are going on around him aren't bothering him.
It's like you and I, Rick, especially you, because you've been playing tournament golf more lately than I. You talk about nerves.
Yeah.
And you talk about having good thoughts going to the course. I mean, you're over there on Smart FM. I told you, Rick. Just pick out a couple, three good songs that you like and keep them in your head. But it's a challenge for everyone, I guess, Brian.
It is.
Absolutely. At every level, you're going through those same feelings that Sean will have at the highest level. Mm-hmm. And it's that do it over and over again. You take someone like Stephen Iam, who we talk to on a regular basis on our show, an Iowa boy about ready to make it on the tour.
Yeah.
And it's just time. It takes time. So you're going to play Latin America tour. It's a great tour. There's not thousands of people watching you. There's maybe 100, you know, on a good day. And then you maybe make a web dot. There's still not thousands of people. Maybe there's 1,000 people watching you.
Right.
And then you finally make it to a John Deere. Now you've got thousands, but it's not a major.
Right.
And yet, so you just keep working your way up those levels with that comfort zone of the number of people watching you and all the everything that's happening in the environment around you.
That's going to be very interesting. A lot of us going to follow Sean McCarty again early tee time Thursday, later on Friday. And Zach, just the opposite, 148. Sure. He's going to be playing in the throes of the heat down there at 148.
Oh, definitely. But,
a lot of storylines in this one. Will Jordan Spieth get the final major that he needs? Is he going to get that Grand Slam? Is that going to happen?
Right.
Well, you and I were talking. There could be a dozen players.
Yeah, at least.
I mean, you just...
How's Tiger going to look? DJ, you know, all those guys. So, you know, there's a lot of storylines in this one.
There is. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to visit with Alex Shockey, University of Iowa player who has had one heck of a summer, and he likes Nebraska golf. We'll talk to him about it after this.
On the streets of Miami, speed is the law. So when a corn dog goes after the wrong girl...
Oh, heartburn!
One man will bring her Tums Ultra Strength.
I'm on my way.
Don't get wrecked by heartburn. Nothing works faster than Tums.
Your mustard's fast, but my Tums are faster.
And with Tums on the go rules, it's never been easier to leave heartburn behind.
You did it.
Yeah. You gonna finish that corn dog?
Tums Ultra Strength, available in a store near you.
To give batters a different look, pitchers throw a changeup.
Your idea of a different look is sunglasses.
That's true.
But La Quinta Inns and Suites is really taking the different look thing to a new level.
Definitely a major league makeover, starting with a bolder, brighter lobby full of comfortable spaces to let you settle in.
Or chill out in front of a big flat screen like Wingo would.
Oh, you know it. It's a changing La Quinta look to help you get in the zone and look sharp when you hit that big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQ.com.
It's a normal day. You're rushing out the door to get to work on time when suddenly, there it is, the dreaded service light. So what is it this time? Tire pressure? Low coolant? Time for an oil change? When it comes to service lights, head to Jiffy Lube. We've got you covered. Drive in today and make the switch to Pennzoil. Ask for Pennzoil Synthetics, getting you back on the road in a jiffy. Jiffy Lube. Leave worry behind.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-494-6139. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-494-6139.
The hunt for October continues.
And we are tied!
The Dodgers and A's.
Coverage starts tonight at 8:30 on 106.3 FM and 1600 AM KGYM.
Welcome back to the Gym Class Caddy Smack Edition. Today, Mark Dukes alongside Brian Haas, head pro at Blue Top Ridge in Riverside, and Kyle Mann operating the board and doing everything a producer does, including co-host this week. Appreciate you joining us.
Busy
and
week.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying it's a busy week.
Yeah. We're going to visit with Alex Shockey here in a second, but I got a little bit of housekeeping to do our Emo's Hideaway poll question today. The KGYMradio.com. Will UNI exceed its preseason ranking of third in the Missouri Valley Football Conference? The Panthers held their media day today. Iowa coming up on Friday. Iowa State yesterday. You can answer yes or no to that question. And as always, thank you to Emo's Hideaway on First Avenue, southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco John's. Right now, we want to bring in our red-hot player and a member of a pretty good golf family, and that is Alex Shockey. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Brian Haas to my left here, and I know you know each other.
Definitely. Hey, Alex.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going, Brian? Good to hear from you.
You like Nebraska golf, huh, Alex?
Yeah, Nebraska golf is good to me. I can say that.
Well, you've won two tournaments at least over there that I'm aware of, the match play, and your third straight Nebraska Amateur Championship. Has this been one of your better summers of golf?
Yeah, I'm for sure. I got to give a lot of credit to, being on the team for the last couple of years. I mean, my game's really grown. But, yeah, I mean, I think this is the best summer that, I've had ever, and that's kind of my goal that coming into every summer is just to have a better summer than the one before. And, I've achieved that goal the last 4 years. So, yeah, I would have to say it's one of my best.
In what way?
Just how I've grown as a player. And, I mean, the wins, I guess, is like it's a bonus. But I can just see myself growing as a player and getting more comfortable with the college environment and how the college courses are set up. And, that's just one of the big ways.
You've worked with a lot of players, Brian. Could you relate to what Alex just had to say?
Oh, definitely. It's a huge transition coming from high school golf into college golf and then amateur golf on top of it. So it's just not even the college rounds that he's playing. It's going to these amateur events that he has to keep up with in the summertime to make sure that he's sharp and ready to go as soon as he steps back into class this fall.
And, Alex, you still got some important events this summer, including next week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to go to Pebble Beach for the USAM. I mean, just the history behind the whole course and the whole, every tournament that's been played there, it's just amazing, and I'm really grateful to get the opportunity to play there. I know I get to play Spyglass as well. It's just going to be a great time. I'm going to go enjoy it with my family, and my swing coach is going to caddy for me, and I have to give a lot of credit to him for, where I am with my game today, and everybody at Iowa and Brian especially too for, fitting me and helping me a little bit with my game. But, Pebble's going to be really fun, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, the U.S. Amateur being contested next week, I think Monday and Tuesday at Spyglass, and then the 64 who make the cut go into a match play environment. Do you prefer medal or match play, or don't you care?
I don't really care. I won match play in my state this year, and I've won the AM too. But I mean, I like both. I mean, I think I'd rather play in a stroke play kind of tournament, just because college golf is so, and having so many college kids going to be at Pebble, it's just you never know who can beat you. And I like to have an environment where, if I'm playing good, I like to keep going into my rounds. I don't really like to restart and be even with somebody at the beginning of my round. I like to get up and get going early.
Frank Linwall from Cedar Rapids, Washington, also qualifying for that event. I know you probably know Frank, he being at Iowa State, and you probably butted heads a time or two, huh?
Yeah, no, yeah. I played with Frank actually at the Midwest Junior Championship, I think 1 or 2 years before I came to Iowa. And, I mean, I was really impressed with his game, and I knew that he qualified for Pebble Beach. He's just a really good player as well.
Member of a very good golf family, and Brian, you know Carson as well.
Yeah,
your absolutely. Older brother, Alex. And talk about that relationship and what kind of influence he had on you and your game.
I mean, a ton. I actually just got done playing golf with him about 5 minutes ago. So,
who won?
That's confidential. yeah, he's had so much influence on me. You know, I'm so grateful that I got to spend my first year at Iowa with him, and just so he could show me around a little bit for my first semester and just to get me going. And, you know, just, I mean, I'm grateful that he, you know, I got to go experience this college golf before I even got there. I mean, I experienced when he won Big Tens his sophomore year, and, you know, it just shows me what it takes to compete at that level. And it's so much different than high school. And, you know, I struggled early on my freshman year a little bit, and, you know, at the end of my freshman year, but I came back that next summer and worked my butt off, and, you know, I had a really good year.
Alex Shockey, a member of the Iowa Hawkeye golf team, joining us on the gym class. He has won nine, I believe, count them, nine Nebraska Golf Association titles, and Alex is 20 years old.
Yeah, how good
is that?
That's
pretty impressive.
That's right, right.
You got to play in a web.com, Alex, is that right?
That's right. I played the Pinnacle Bank in my hometown this year. I Monday qualified and did it.
Very nice. That, you know, those are all things you just got to keep putting right in your brother's face and make sure he knows who's the boss. And
well, he played the John Deere, so I can't get on him for that.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
But like Brian was talking earlier, whether it's you or Carson or Stephen Heim or whoever it may be, it's a process, right?
That's right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just have to take it step by step, and you know, that starts with high school, junior golf, and goes straight into college golf. And it's just, I mean, there's no like small transition into it, no baby steps. It's literally a jump in. And, you know, that's something it's hard to prepare for. I mean, there's a select few that can. And, I mean, I didn't right away, but I got used to it. And, you know, I performed well this year.
And think about your first college event and then your first web dot event. How big of a change were those two types of events for you?
You know, they're pretty big, and, you know, there's not much difference, I would say, between the college players and the pros, you know, just a few, you know, little ticks here and there. And I know me and you have talked about some putting stats that, you know, that you have in your office at Blue Top, and there's just not much difference. But, yeah, I mean, my first event was at Spirit Hollow. I didn't even start my first three events, I don't think. And then when I got to the Pinnacle, it's just a whole different game. I mean, you know, the people out there watching you, it's a different pressure, and the golf courses are a little harder, and you just have to make birdies. It seems like the cut line always seems to go down instead of up.
Yeah, it seems to be running away from you at times, for sure.
Last question for me, Alex. What's the Iowa golf team going to look like this fall and spring?
You know, I think there's going to be a lot of surprises. You know, we have a good team. We have a lot of guys that are playing really well this summer. You know, we have me and Matt and Mormon and Benton Weinberg are coming back and in our top four. And, you know, I think we've really grown as leaders, and we're excited to get back, the Hawkeyes back to regionals.
Alex, best of luck in the U.S. Amateur, and I know Brian joins me in that regard, right, Brian?
Absolutely. Have fun.
Yeah, thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Alex. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Thanks.
Alex Shockey, member of the Iowa Hawkeye golf team, who has won two Nebraska amateur events this year, at least two that I know of, and nine in total at age 20, Rick. How about that?
Wow, that's amazing.
Huh.
It's getting it done.
It's getting it done.
Very impressive. We want to give you an opportunity out there, Rick. Myself, I have questions to pose to Brian.
Yes.
Our text line, 319-366-1600. Do you have anything out of the chute, Rick, or not?
Just based on last weekend. Now, Saturday, the second round was pretty, for me, consistent. I mean, it was 11 bogeys and 7 pars, and was never in trouble. So it was just putting, you know. I would leave putts just on the edge or just on the lip or things like that. The round before, mentally was pretty strong, except when I got I hit a couple of shots I did not get rewarded for that I thought I hit pretty well.
That's frustrating.
Right. Yeah.
So, and that got me a little off kilter for a few holes. So when that kind of stuff happens.
That's hard. Again,
and we've talked about this.
Yeah.
The mental aspect of the game of golf, which is you're going along okay, and then, man, I hit a great shot. What did that ball hit? And it
sure.
hopped that way or whatever it is. How do you do that? How do you deal with that?
It's hard. It's really hard. And I can just pull from my own experience last week when I caught the edge of that bunker for that triple.
Right.
I was in the right bunker, and normally that's not a big deal, but my ball caught just a tip of the edge of the bunker, and it made it go funny sideways, and now all of a sudden I'm looking at grass that's above my knees.
Yeah.
And just doing anything I can do just to pitch it out of there.
Sure.
And, you know, that's just what happens, and you're thinking, I just throw it in the middle of the green, make bogey, and it catches something funny on the green, and it the way our greens are, it tears away and rolls away, and now all of a sudden I'm looking at a three putt, a legitimate.
Right.
It'd be amazing if I two putted that putt I had,
mm-hmm.
and it was a legitimate three putt position, and all of a sudden you're looking at triple, yeah. you know, real quick.
Yeah.
And you know that happens, and if you can minimize that the best you can, but sometimes you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in that case, I was minimizing as much as I possibly could, and it still happened.
Mark, you and I talked about that. It's like it's amazing when you watch these guys play at the PGA level. Or college level, or whatever,
right.
that have that ability to keep it under control, because they go through things like that too.
Absolutely.
And like you said, play for bogey or whatever, and get out of there with the best.
I follow Zach online in most of his tournaments, and how often he makes a bogey and comes back with a birdie the very next hole.
Right, and I think I did something very similar. If it wasn't that hole, it was the next one after that. I think I redeemed myself almost immediately, but it was. And I wasn't even trying to stuff something in to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to stay calm and put the ball back in play again.
Right.
And that's basically what you have to do. Putting wise, when they're not going in and you're hanging around the edge of the hole, a lot of times that's just inconsistency in your speed. So I try in the middle of that round to get back to hitting the ball, whatever your distance is past the cup, or maybe it's a die-in putt if that's
right.
the type of putter you are. So for me, it's a call it 2 foot by. So I'm trying to hit every putt 2 foot by if it doesn't go in.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way you get used to the speed. You're picking the right line for your speed all the time. So if they're not going in, just try to really get into your own speed that you're choosing each time you hit a putt.
We got a listener on the phone line. Kyle, who do we have?
Yeah, we got Jim in Cedar Rapids has a question for you, Brian. Jim, what do you got?
Hey, you've got a good question for you. I was just wondering now, do you guys going to be going up against the University of Illinois this year? Do you know?
Ooh, the Hawkeyes. I don't know. I have not seen the schedule for them yet this year. I will. We can look that up and find out. I'm not sure that schedule is completely out yet.
They might be in some of the same invitations.
The coach over there.
Yeah, typically the coach at Illinois.
Yeah, Mike Small.
Yeah, Mike Small. Yeah, absolutely. It doesn't get any better than that. He's a pseudo-tour player. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so usually in the Big Tens, for sure, you'll see them there. So they're definitely going to match up at some point just because of they're both in the same conference.
Are the people are able to come out and watch you guys play golf?
They have an invitational at Finkbine, the Hawkeyes do, and there's always a pretty good crowd. It's not thousands of people by any means, but there's probably 50 to 100 people that are watching.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, if we get a chance, I definitely want to come watch you guys play.
There you go.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. All right, Brian, I'm playing in a four-man best shot on Saturday. And there was a time I was a fairly regular tournament player.
Right.
And whenever I went and played in a best shot, it was easy to maybe screw up your game because you maybe hit it too hard.
Swinging too
and
hard.
And trying to, you know, help the other three in your group. You get a lot of that?
I see it.
Yeah.
I don't get to ask that question very often because the way I look at best shots is exactly what you said. You're trying to hit shots that you normally wouldn't hit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's what's hard about a best shot. You get up on the tee, you swing a little bit more at the ball than you normally would, trying to hit something 10 more yards or 20 more yards that's really not even in your wheelhouse.
Especially if there's one out there safe.
Yeah.
Right.
That's when it happens, Rick.
And then you end up with shots that are
in
really
there.
Errant. for that matter. And then same thing putting. You feel bad if you don't get the ball to the hole. So you're putting not in your normal speed.
Right.
You will make more putts in a best shot if you putt at your normal speed. And just work on maybe that day. Maybe you are a person that dives the ball in the hole. That's typically not your best shot putter because now they're trying to ram everything in the hole and they're used to dying it in the hole. But if you're a 1 foot or a 2 foot person past the cup, try to stick to that. And even if you end up short, they're going to give you a hard time for it. But the reality is you'll make more putts if you stay at your speed.
Let's take our last break, Kyle. And when we come back, we've got more questions on the text line. Maybe a couple more from me.
All right.
Can buying a used car feel like new? At Toyota of Iowa City, all used cars come with pre-owned continued care. That's 2 years of oil changes, tire rotations, multi-point inspections, and car washes with every service appointment, plus 10% off maintenance items. That's a new car experience for a pre-owned purchase. Shop today at toyotaiowacity.com or stop in to see us. Pre-owned continued care only at Toyota of Iowa City. It's what we do.
See dealer for details.
Nestled among eastern Iowa's rolling hills, a Manor Colonies Golf Club winds its way serenely along 18 holes, and from each one, the view is striking. These spectacular surroundings have led to a Manor Colonies Golf Club's consistently high rankings from Golf Digest and Golf Magazine, and the title of top public golf course in Iowa numerous times. And the Lakeside Barn is the perfect setting for weddings and events. Amana Colonies Golf Club in the heart of historic Amana, Iowa, is a pure golf experience. Take advantage of dynamic pricing at amanagolf.com.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association at this station.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Welcome back, 351 on the Gym Class today, another edition of Caddy Smack. Brian Haas of Blue Top Ridge and Riverside joining us. Kyle Mann in studio. Rick Swan dipping in, dipping out. But he may or may not be back in these final 6 minutes. Questions on the Hurtine and Stocker Jeweler text line. Mike in Iowa City. Brian, when you get into a bad lie, like tall grasses on the back edge of a bunker, is there a way to protect your wrists from injury?
Ooh. Not really. Unplayable lie, maybe.
Maybe take an unplayable.
Take an unplayable lie, right, so that you can get out of there. In my case, when I was in that long grass last week, my unplayable lie options were not there unless I took multiple strokes to get out of there as far as taking four club lengths instead of two. So that'd be two strokes. No, not really, because it's one of those things where you got to pound down to go get it out of there, and it can be dangerous.
Well, to save a wrist, give up a stroke.
Give up a stroke, yeah, absolutely, yep.
5016 on the text line. When should I switch from game improvement irons to player's irons?
Well, if you look at the tour players, most of them are playing a game improvement tour iron of some sort.
What's the difference?
So it's really about... Now, in the current sets of irons, more of the companies are using large amounts of tungsten, which is a really dense weight. And what that allows them to do is build a shell of an iron to get the moment of inertia the way they want it, how fast the ball will leave that club face, and how much forgiveness it can have by using the heavier weights heel-toe as far out as they possibly can. So by using large amounts of tungsten, they can really design these clubs in a very high-tech manner to be very forgiving. So there are very few tour players playing an actual blade anymore. They are all playing a cavity back. It's somewhere in that high 90% tile world.
I played blades for 2 months, and they're harder than hell to hit.
Yeah, and I played them all the beginning of my, we'll call it the end of high school and through college and into being a club professional. And when like the APs came out from Titleist, the APs, that was the greatest thing ever. And you take guys like Steve Stricker. I was fortunate to have lunch with him. This was maybe 8 or so years ago. And one of my golf professionals was with us, and he asked the question, how come you don't play a blade? And he looked straight across the table, dead-eyed, right at him, and said, I don't hit it that good. Yeah.
Well, you got to hit it pure.
Right, right. Right. He goes, I don't want those things. I want something I can hit. And that was his honest answer. You could tell he wasn't joking around. He goes, I don't want to hit those things. And really, neither should we. So there's so many good options in that mid-range cavity club. AP2 is an example. Callaway has some great ones. TaylorMade has some good ones. You know, the big five companies that are out there. Ping just came out with a new one. There's so many good options that way that there's no reason to hit anything.
Take advantage of technology.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Here's one for you, and I think we encountered it almost every round we play, Brian. And that is, you're at a distance where you're between clubs.
Right.
A lot of factors involved, uphill, downhill, into the wind. It might be a bunker, might be water, a lot of other variables. But by and large, I guess I get in the mindset these days, I'm going to hit the longer club because I'm probably not going to hit it on the screws. Is that a bad approach? Or how do you view selecting a club when you're between clubs?
So mine's mathematical. It depends where the trouble is. So if the trouble is long, then it's the shorter club.
Okay.
If the trouble is short, then it's the longer club. So I go by my minimum carry distance and then where the trouble is and then what the distance is to that trouble. So you take a green where the trouble is over the back. I never put a club in my hand that gets me over the back of that golf, over that green. If the trouble's in the front, I never put a club in my hand that won't carry that trouble easily.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's mathematical for me.
Last for me, and we only have a couple minutes. Your big key to reading greens, is it how much is obviously the slopes and whatnot and uphill, downhill? How much is grain?
Grain isn't as much of a factor as it used to be. Our greens are much shorter and faster now. If you're playing at the country club level where greens are running at 11, grain is really not a factor.
Okay.
If you're playing more municipal and they're running 7-8, grain can be a little bit more of a factor in that putt. So where I'm playing typically anymore, green is not a factor. So I almost don't even look at it any longer.
I mean, I've looked at putts from behind the ball and on the other side, and sometimes it looks totally different.
Yeah.
How do you figure that out?
That's for all of us.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I make sure I'm wearing the same shoe so I'm not lopsided. And like Happy Gilmore, you're not wearing your right shoe. I love that part. So, but really is it's walking the putt, walking all the way up to the hole and feeling it with your body and your feet and starting to understand the way that hole is moving. So if you walk that distance all the way to the cup, you know if you're walking uphill or downhill. You know if you're walking on the side of a hill because one foot is lower than the other as you walk up to the cup. And that's why I make a funny reference about the Happy Gilmore movie, is that you really can feel if you had one shoe off, you walk funny. And if you're walking on the side of a hill, you will walk funny and you'll be able to feel that. So walk your putt up to the hole and back, and you'll feel more of what that turf is doing than even getting behind the ball.
Excellent. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, Brian, but thanks again for joining us. We'll see you on the next edition of Caddy Smack. Enjoy the PGA, and good luck in next week's senior event.
Thank you. Yeah, that's our gateway into the senior PGA Championship.
Exactly.
So got to get in that top few players there to make it through.
Give her hell. Brian Haas, head pro at Blue Top Ridge in Riverside, joining us today. Thanks to Rick Swan as well and Kyle Mann. Tomorrow we'll be joined by Dave Koken, our expert in Las Vegas, and Kevin Lehman, who will break down the new rules in NCAA men's basketball. Tonight, 7 p.m., join in progress. Twins Indians, 107.5 FM. Talk to you tomorrow.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here, and boy, do I have a deal for you. The deal with this deal is that you get both a breast...